Get your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Last week we began our series for October entitled Your Spiritual Success Story with our first message entitled The Foundation for Success. In that message we learned exactly what it took to achieve spiritual success in this life. And if you'll remember, that is exactly what Moses did. Moses put God before anything. Moses put God before riches, before fame, before everything that he was supposed to inherit in life because he was raised in Pharaoh's house. Moses chose rather to suffer the afflictions of the children of Israel and to live as a slave other than being the heir to the throne that he was born to be. So you got to remember this as we go into this next message in our series of messages. This week we're going to talk about the secret of success. Now, I want you to understand, it all depends on who you ask, what is the secret to success? If you were to go to Hollywood and ask someone, they might say, well, a pretty face is the secret to success in Hollywood. You know, the older you are in Hollywood, the less parts you get. It's when you first get that pretty face and you first look the best you look, even the men, before they start to get wrinkles and everything, they get all the movie parts. But when they get older, it seems like they don't get the movie parts as often as they did before. Now in Washington, D.C., they might tell you this. Connections or knowing the right people are the keys to success in Washington, D.C. Knowing the right people, having the right connections, being able to get in the right position in government, they call that success in Washington. Now, if you went to Wall Street, they might tell you this. Financial clout and leverage is the key to success on Wall Street. It's really who you know and what connections you have and all the insider trading information you can get that makes you a success at Wall Street. But what I want to focus on today in this message is what does God say that success is? What does God say the secret to success in our spiritual life is? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to read two verses. Verse 6 says this, "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth." Now notice what the last part of this. "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." The Lord does not look at our outward appearance. He does not look at what we can bring him as much as he does on the heart of man. What is your heart like today? Is your heart clean? Is your heart pure? Is your heart a heart towards God? Do everything you do, do you do it for the glory of God? Or do you do it to build self up? So many people in life today want to make a name for themselves. Preachers want to be the most popular preacher in the world. Be very famous and have a big name. People in politics want to be the most popular. People on the movie screen want to be the well-known actor or the actress. Listen, my friend, we need to understand God does not look at the outward appearance. God looks at what we are on the heart. God looks at what we feel. God looks at what we express. God looks at what we do in this life to bring honor to Him. Let's pray before we get into our message. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for the words you've given us today, Lord. We pray, Father, that you'd help us to bring it out in a way that's pleasing unto you. And Father, we pray that you'd be glorified through this message, Lord, for it's not about us. It's all about you. And Father, we praise you this morning. We glorify you for the visitors. We thank you, Lord, for them that have come this morning to join with us. And we bless you and we praise you and we glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Amen. This morning, God says that the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. Character is the bottom line. If you want to be successful in God's eyes, It is a matter of heart. What is your heart like? What do you feel in your heart? What is your heart aiming towards? What is your heart all about? Where do you put your heart in the motion of your life? Today we're going to look at a man named David, one of the greatest men who ever lived, and one of the greatest kings who ever served God's kingdom. David was chosen by God, not because of what he looked like. The Bible says that David was a shorter man. He did not have a big stature. He was not a man that was really something that people would look after. But the Bible said David had a heart towards God. He was a shepherd, a poet, a general, and a king. He wrote most of the Psalms we have recorded for us in the Bible. He united the southern and northern kingdoms. He was a giant killer. He had an incredible line of achievements that we could cover this morning, but that's not what we're going to talk about. Because God wasn't impressed with any of the things that David did. What impressed God about David was his heart. Acts 13 verse 22 records this. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, are you a person after God's heart? Are you a person that seeks to be all that God would have you to be? Do you want to be a person after God's own heart? God says that David had a heart for God. How do you know a person's heart, though? How can you tell a person has a heart for God? It's by looking at the way they respond to four circumstances in life. They are four great tests of the heart in life. And those four things are sin, stress, service, and success. Today we're going to compare how David handled these things with how we handle them. Now I want you to listen very carefully as we go through this message. Because David was a man that had great success in life. As I said, he served as a poet. He was also a prophet. He was also a general. And he rose to the stature of being the king of Israel. And the Bible says he was the greatest king that the nation of Israel ever had. He was a godly man. He was a man after God's own heart. And he had a character above many people. Now, people are saying, well, now he sinned. Yes, he sinned. He did have sin with Bathsheba. He did commit that sin of adultery. And he also committed murder by having her husband killed. But you got to remember what David did after these circumstances. After David did these things, he actually confessed his sin. And that's what we're going to talk about first. The first test is the sin test. David himself had a repentant heart. This warrior, this man of men, this leader of a nation, had a tender, repentant heart. When David blew it, he admitted it. He didn't try to hide it, and he didn't try to deny it before God. He knew God could see his heart. He knew what God felt about him, and he knew he must repent. He didn't make excuses for what he had done. He didn't try to rationalize it. When somebody confronted him with his sin, he said, you're right. I blew it. I know I failed God. I sinned. He was very sensitive to the conviction God brought to him and was quick to repent. David wrote the following words in Psalms 51, verses 1 through 3. This is what he said. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Now this is David's prayer of confession. After he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered, he lays all the cards on the table. He literally says, God, I blew it. I was wrong. I know I committed sin. I know my transgression is ever before me. I know I have these things that are keeping me from serving you the best. I know I've got all these problems in my life. But he said, I confess them. He knew he was wrong. He doesn't deny it. He doesn't excuse it. He doesn't blame Bathsheba for his sin. He is honest with God, and that's the first characteristics of a heart after God. We call the collection of books the Holy Bible we have before us. But you'll never find a book that is more, that there is more murder, rape, incest, and problems in it anywhere. It's all in there because the Bible tells the truth. When it talks about man, it talks about his good side and his bad side. And we all have that. You've got to understand, there's none of us that are perfect. There's none of us that are, the Bible says, none are righteous. All have gone their own way. All have done their own thing. All have sought after the things of the world. None of us are good. As a matter of fact, Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, my friends, we've all sinned. None of us are perfect. None of us are beyond what David was. We all look at David and we say, well, David was a terrible man. David was a man that committed adultery right before God and all the people. David was a man that committed murder. He could, surely God couldn't have sought out him. But David was a man because God, and he was a man after God's own heart because he had a repentant heart. He asked God to forgive him. He chose to be the man God called him to be. And we understand that. Listen, the Bible says, it lays out a universal, unvarnished truth about David as we look in the Word of God. It says he was a poet, a great leader, and a king, but he was also a liar, a betrayer, an adulterer, and a murderer. That's the truth about King David. He had all these problems in his life. We read about his success, but we also read about his struggles. And can I tell you something this morning? We all have the same problem. We all have success in life, but we all have struggles. We all have good days. We all have bad days. We all have days that we go without sinning, and we all have days that we commit sin. We all are flawed creatures, just like David was. Listen, my point is this. You don't have to be perfect to have a heart after God. Isn't that good news? Isn't it good news we don't have to be perfect to be in tune with God? Isn't it good news to know that God still loves us even though we're sinners? Isn't it good news to know that while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us enough to die for us? Isn't it good news to know that God still is on the throne and still is loving all of us? Listen, my friends, many people are called men and women of God in the Bible, but only one person is called a man after God's own heart, and that was King David. He is the only one that God made that statement, that he was a man after God's own heart, even though he was a murderer, even though he was an adulterer. He was still a man after God's own heart. He was a great sinner, but he was also great at repenting of his sin. You don't have to be perfect to have a heart for God. You just have to be a great at repenting when you sin. Psalms 51 verse 17 says this, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." Listen, my friend, David believed in a forgiving God. He believed in a God that would forgive him if he would just ask him, if he would just seek repentance, if he would just seek God. He learned to focus more on God's forgiveness than he did on his own failure. And that's why God says he was a man after his own heart. Listen, my friend, Satan has conned many people into thinking, because of my past, God can never use me. Now think about that. How many people will lose their purpose in life? How many Christians will lose their calling? How many Christians will not fulfill their purpose in life because Satan has lied to them and told them, God can't use you because of what you did in the past. God can't use you because you were a sinner. God can't use you because you committed adultery. God can't use you because you did this sin or that sin. Listen, my friend, God can use you. All it takes is repentance and God can use anyone. Because of my past, I'll never amount to anything great in the kingdom of God, Satan says. Satan says you'll never amount to anything because of who you were. You'll never amount to anything because of what you did. God says, I can still use you. Listen, Satan is wrong, and anyone that tells you God can't use you is wrong. If God can use David, he can use anybody. Listen, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be sincerely repentant and admit when you're wrong. Admit to God, I've sinned. That is the secret. Admit to God when you've sinned. Ask for forgiveness. Seek his forgiveness. Listen, I want you to evaluate your heart this morning and compare it to David's. How do you react when you sin? Do you deny it? Do you try to excuse it and blame it on somebody else? Do you rationalize it? If you do, give yourself one on a scale of 1 to 10. But do you repent immediately? Then give yourself a 10 on the scale. Do you instantly repent or let it pile up? God says when it comes to sin, a person after his own heart has a repentant heart daily. They ask for forgiveness. They realize they're not perfect. They realize they sin. They realize they are fall short. They realize they fail. Listen, we all are in this position. We all sin. We all fall short. We all fail. We all are not perfect. But God says, just repent. The second test is the stress test. David had a trusting heart. We have a stress epidemic going on in our culture today. According to the Harvard Business Review, 60 to 90% of all doctor visits are stress related. Think about that. Stress is the number one killer in the world. Stress kills more people than guns. Stress is a major deterrent to people serving God, because stress is something that God does not tolerate in the life of a believer. Few people experience more stress than David. Psalms 118 verses 5 and 6 say this, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Listen, very few people have had stress as intense as David's. Think about it. He had constant war with his neighboring nations. He had to fight giants, run from Saul, and hide in caves for years. He had incredible family problems. I mean, his family was an absolute mess. He had one son rape his half-sister, and another son killed that brother. He had another son who rebelled against him and overtook the throne and took over his place, and then he was killed. Lots of tragedy and stress in his life. David had it all. He experienced every kind of stress you could think of. David said, I pray, I trust, and I keep moving forward. In fact, he wrote the following words in Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8, under a time of great stress. This is what he said. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rocks of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Listen, my friend, courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is moving on in spite of your fear. Listen, we all fear certain things. Some people fear speaking in front of crowds. Some people fear a new job interview. Some people fear going to the doctor. Some people fear even being in public. We all have some type of fear we deal with in life. David says, go past the fear. Why? Because God walks with you. God is always with you. God is your defense. God is your helper. God is the one that can take care of all your problems. David said, God is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my fortress. When I'm under stress, I trust in God. When we're under stress, we need to have a trusting heart, as David did. One that knows that no matter what this life brings us, we still have a Father in heaven to take care of us. No matter what we face in life, God is always there. The Bible says Jesus sticks closer to us than a brother. He's always with us. He's always walking with us to help us along the way. Listen, my friend, evaluate yourself on this scale. What is your response to stress? Do you have an anxious heart or a doubtful heart? Give yourself a 1. Do you have a trusting heart? Give yourself a 10. That's the scale we need to evaluate ourselves on. What scale would we reach? Do we have a heart that does not trust in God? We're on this scale. Do we have a heart that trusts God fully? We're on this scale. Listen, you're on one of the other ends of that scale. You either trust God or you don't. You either rely on God or you don't. You either make God your fortress and your shield and you trust in Him for all things, or you don't. Listen, we all have a choice to make, and we all need to understand. If you find yourself on the low end of the scale, I have one piece of advice for you. You have to learn to turn things over to God, even if that might go against your nature. It is the only way to wholeness. The first thing we must do when we come under stress is to pray a prayer like David did. The third test we're going to look at this morning is the service test. David had a servant's heart. David was a man that served God with his whole being. David was a man that was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. His desire was always, I want to do God's will more than anything else. Acts 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Listen, my friend, David was not the biggest son. He was not the most proudest son. He was not the one that stood out in a crowd. But David was God's choice. David was the one that God chose to lead the nation of Israel. David was a failure. David was a man that caused himself many grief. He sinned repeatedly, but David always came back to God. That is our desire. That should be our will. Could you say that about you and God? Could you say that you're after God's own heart? Could you say you have a servant's heart? David did everything God asked him to do. So often we're lukewarm in the areas of our service. We say, get somebody else to do it. Let somebody else serve. I don't have the time. The question is, what about you? When it comes to serving God in the church, in living out the life of Jesus Christ, what decision do you make? Do we accept the responsibility? Are we willing to serve? When you consider this church, where is your area of service? If we listed every single person that is any area of service here in this church, where would your name be? I praise God for those who found a place of service here. We would not be able to do what we are doing without your service, and I know that much of it goes unnoticed. We have many people in this church that serve in many areas. We have many people that serve on many different boards and many different places that they serve. But listen to me very carefully, my friend. It is everyone's responsibility to serve. We're all called to serve. We're all called to be what God has wanted us to be. And that is my prayer this morning, that you would do that. Listen, what is something disheartening is the number of members that are not involved in anything other than attending worship service. When our yearly elections come up in December, who will be willing to fill the positions we need to fill to get the church moving forward again? Some have gotten to the point where they're relying on everyone else to take all the responsibility and not doing anything themselves. This is not a problem of laziness. It is a heart problem that needs to be taken care of. It needs to be fixed if we just dedicate ourselves to God and take the responsibility of service. David wanted to serve God because that was going to count in his life. He was willing to invest his time and his money in the service of God. That was David's one desire. I want to serve God to the best of my ability. I want to do what God wants me to do. The Bible says in Acts 13:22 that he fulfilled all the will of God. He did everything God placed before him. He was willing to sacrifice his life to serve God. David was a man after God's own heart. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24 says this, "And the king said unto Arunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it to thee at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does not cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver." Now I want you to understand something. David was going to build an altar to God, and a man told him he could have his land, his rocks, his cattle, and that he would pay for the whole altar. This man offered to do everything for David. David said, "No way. When it comes to serving God, I don't serve a God with freebies. I don't serve God with my leftovers. I don't serve God when it doesn't cost me. I owe everything to my Creator, my Savior. I will never offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing." David said, "I won't take it free of charge. I want to pay you for it. I don't take things free to the service of God. I want to give you something for it." David could have had everything he needed to build the altar, the land, the altar, the sacrifices, and everything. This man was willing to give David free of charge. David said, "I don't want it free of charge. I want to pay you for it." Listen, if you claim to be a Christian, what is it costing you? David said, "I'm not going to offer the Lord anything that does not cost me anything." Some of us mired in mediocrity. We just try to get by. We want to know, what is the minimum I can do and still call myself a Christian? What is the minimum I can do and still say I believe in God? God isn't asking for the minimum amount of service. He wants all we have to give Him. David did not give God part of his life. He gave God all of his life. David is saying the same thing to you this morning. Be like me. Give God your whole life. David sacrificed everything to serve God. God is asking you this morning, what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to lay down? What are you willing to give up to serve me? What are you willing to do in the service of God? You know, many people say, "Well, I can't. I don't have the time. I don't have the experience. I don't have this. I don't have that." God says He does not call the equipped, He equips the called. You may not say, and you may say that you're not able to teach a class. You're not able to do something for God. God says you can do it if you're just willing. God says you can do it if you're just willing to do it. Evaluate yourself here. How do you serve God? Not at all? Give yourself a 1. If you serve God wholeheartedly, give yourself a 10. David was a man after God's own heart because when he sinned, he repented. When he was under stress, he turned to God and trusted Him immediately. When he served, he trusted Him wholeheartedly, freely, willingly, and sacrificially. He eventually experienced the 4th test. If you will do the first 3, listen, the 4 is inevitable. Listen, the 4th test, the success test. David had a humble heart. Everything David did built up to this. David had a heart after God, and it was a humble heart. He had a humble heart that was willing to confess his sin. David wants you to be a success in your life. God wants you to be a success in your life. He wants to use it, and He wants to use you in His life. He wants you to use you in this life to take you deeper and build your character more, not success for the sake of success, but He wants you to build your life up in success to Him. He wants you to use your life so that you may be all that you can be. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14 says this, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." David was probably one of the most successful men who ever lived. After he knocked off Goliath, he became a national hero. His name was known everywhere, and people even wrote songs about him. Saul has slain his thousands, they sang, David his 10,000s. Saul was a mighty king, but David was a king after God's own heart. Saul was a man that God did not choose, but was put in position because the nation of Israel wanted a king. Saul was an evil king. Saul was a man that sought after wisdom of fortune tellers and soothsayers. And God took his spirit from him. But David was a godly king. David was a king that sought God. That sought God in everything. That was the difference between Saul and David. They praised David, adored him. The Bible says that all Judah and Israel loved David. He was Mr. Popularity. He could do no wrong. He has one success after another found in Scripture. This is the ultimate test of your heart. How do you handle praise? How do you handle success? How do you handle material success? Do you spend all of it on yourself? How do you handle the good life, the easy street? David's response was that he gave all the glory to God. He refused to take any credit for his success. He did not want any success credited to himself. He wanted them to glorify God for the success he had. He didn't let it go to his head. There are very few people who can handle adulation and praise in a godly way. A very few people can handle success without it ruining them. How do you handle it when people praise you? When everything is going great, the tendency is to forget God. However, look at David's attitude in Psalms 115, verse 1. This is what he said. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Listen, my friend, David had all the credit and he gave it to God. All the credit for everything he accomplished, everything he did, he glorified God. He didn't let it go to his head. When everybody was praising him, he was saying, God, you get it all. You get all the credit. David had a humble heart. Evaluate yourself. How do you handle success? When things are going great, you tend to pay less attention to God. Do you pray less? Or do you praise God for your success? When everything is fine and wonderful, do you let the spiritual discipline slide? When you get away from God, you start thinking life is pretty good. You don't see it from the way God sees it in your life. How do you handle it when you get the promotion? Do you have a haughty heart or a humble heart? Listen, my friend, as we close this message, I want you to think about this. It's amazing to me that these four qualities are the very qualities that most people overlook when they're looking for a great person. They don't look for humility, a servant's heart, a repentant heart. But the very qualities that most people overlook in others when they're looking for greatness are the exact same qualities that God looks for when he says that's a great person. God wants a person that is humble. God wants a person that gives him glory in everything. God wants a person that has a heart for him. God wants a person that has a repentant heart. God wants a person that is always seeking forgiveness. That's the way you get success in this life. God wants you to be a person after his heart. Listen, God is still looking for people with great hearts. If God did an x-ray on your heart, what would it reveal this morning? A repentant heart? A heart that says, it wasn't really my fault, it was somebody else's fault, it's not that bad. We should all have a heart that says, no, God, it was wrong, I'm sorry, and I'm changing it. We should all have a repentant heart. When your heart reveals a trusting heart, or would it reveal an anxious heart? God, I'm trusting you in this situation. Are you saying, I'm always going to trust you for all things? I don't know where the money's coming from, but I'm going to trust you in this situation. When it comes to service, would it reveal a servant's heart or let somebody else do it? I don't have the time to help. I'm too busy. When things are going great, do you say, Lord, it's all from you. I'm grateful and I'm humbled by it. God is looking for people to use. And one of the biggest frustrations as I stand here week after week, as I look out on the faces that I see in the congregation, I think this, that woman, that man, that young person, they're on the edge of greatness spiritually. God could use them in a great way. God sees in their life, and I see it also, but they don't see it. My prayer is that you will begin to see it and that you will do something about it. Listen, God wants you to be a success. God wants you to be a great success in this life. He wants you to have spiritual success. But the problem with most people is that they're too busy, they don't repent, and they don't want to give up things of this world to serve God. In order to be a godly Christian, in order to be a Christian after God's own heart, in order to be all God wants you to be, you must be like David. You must have a repentant heart. You must have a heart that knows when you're wrong. You're wrong. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not somebody else's problem. They didn't cause it. David didn't blame Bathsheba for what happened, even though she was the cause of it. He knew he sinned. He knew it was his fault. And when he had her husband killed, he knew it wasn't her husband's, Uriah's fault. It was his fault. He's the one that put that in motion. He's the one that sent him to battle to die. David realized this, and he confessed. My question to you is this morning, are you living a life like David? Are you living a spiritual, successful life? Are you living a life that has found the secret to have a successful spiritual life? If you put God first, like Moses did, if you're like David, if you always repent, 1 John 1:9 says this, if we will confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My friend, this morning, do you have a sin that you need forgiving? Do you have something in your heart that is keeping you from serving God, from being all that you could be? My prayer is that you bring it to God this morning. Maybe God's calling you to service in the church somewhere, but you've been putting it off. Now's the time to serve God. Maybe God's calling you to move your membership here or to be part of our church. But you said, nah, I just don't feel like that. That's not where God wants me. Or, guys, just too early. Or, I just don't feel like it. Listen to God. If God's calling you here, come be part of our fellowship. Come be part of our church. We'd love to have you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for your words you've given us this morning. And Father, we know, Lord, that you want us to be like David, have a repentant heart, a humble heart, and a heart that's after you. And Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would help us to be that kind of person. You would help us to be faithful, and you would help us to be available when you need us. And Lord, we glorify you this morning. We praise you for what you've done and what you're going to do here at this church. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.